Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible has left its mark on millions. Societies transformed, relationships healed, truth understood. We who run the race of life can trust a book with this kind of track record. The Bible is God's written revelation. Today, what its power can do for you. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is called 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. Today, Dr. Lutzer is taking us through Psalm 19 as he brings his 7th and final reason, the power of the Bible.
You remember Jeremiah? He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat of them, and they became unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts." But you see, friends, today, with all of our computers and with all of our television sets and with all of the input that we receive from the world, our appetite is so diluted oftentimes that the word means nothing to us. And what we need to do is to understand that the appetite needs to be developed by use and by dependence upon the living and the true God. Is it any wonder that the psalm ends by talking about the great power of the word to examine us? It says, moreover, by verse 11, "By them is thy servant warned, in keeping of them there is great reward, and preserving us from sin." Verse 12, "Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Keep back also thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me." All of those sins that we willfully commit, how are we going to be kept back from them? Through the word of God. "Then shall I be blameless and shall be acquitted of great transgression." And it ends with a prayer, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, I could have concentrated in more detail on these last verses, but I chose not to do so because I want to turn to another passage. But before we do that, do you understand how clearly the Bible shows that the character of the Word is actually the character of God? Now what I'd like you to do is to turn to the book of Hebrews for a moment, where we shall see that the power of the Word is actually the power of God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The character of the Word is the character of God. And the power of the Word is the power of God. Chapter 4 opens, it says, "Therefore let us fear, lest a promise remains of entering into its rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." And then it says, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it." In other words, the word of God doesn't automatically do all of these miracles. It has to be mixed with faith. There has to be a receptive heart, which the word itself, by the way, is also able to create and does create. And if it did not, our hearts would not be open to God. But now it's in this context, he goes on to say in verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same examples of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intention of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." What a passage of scripture. Notice it says that the word of God is living. King James says quick, and people may think that it's fast. No, quick is the old English word for alive. The word of God is alive, and it is active. It is not a static message, because behind the message comes the very word and the authority and the power of God. Read about an old preacher who used to do street preaching, and he took his hat and put a Bible under the hat, and then in order to get attention would say to people, "It's alive, it's alive, it's alive," and point toward the hat. And everybody wondered, "What's in it? Is there a rabbit in it? What's under his hat?" And then he lifted it up and there was a Bible. Kind of hokey, I think, but he made a point. He made a point. It is alive. It is active. And then notice now what it does. It cuts us open. It cuts us open. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. When a surgeon has an operation that he performs, he uses a knife. But notice that the Word of God is sharper than a knife, first of all, but it cuts both ways. Wherever it lands, it cuts. Not just in one direction. It is a sword with two edges. And you'll notice it says it is sharper. Here we have the language of dissection. The Greek word is very clear here. It means to cut, to dissect. Piercing, as far as division of soul and spirit. The idea is going right through the soul and through the spirit, all the way through. And may I simply interpret it this way? It does not mean that it divides the soul and the spirit, as if to say that they are intertwined and it has to divide them. Rather, the idea is it goes through the soul and it goes through the spirit. Just like the joints and marrow do not have to be separated, as the text goes on to say here in a poetic way to emphasize with imagery the power of the Word of God, because the joints and the marrow are not even really together, but rather it goes through the joints and it goes through the marrow. We might say that the Word of God cuts through to the bone. It dissects every single part of us. And the text says it is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That word thoughts in Greek means ideas that come to us that we meditate on. Good word would be reflections of the heart. The things that we think about when we're going along the expressway, the thoughts that we have about different people, the anger that arises within our hearts, or our reflections as we come to church about things that happened to us this past week or things that are going to happen in the future, and also the intentions of the heart, what we intend to do, the things that we would like to do but can't, all of the musings of the mind and the heart, the Word of God sits in judgment upon and discerns moment by moment, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's all there. Now, why is this so important? Because you and I are born sinners. We are born sinners, and as a result of that, we are born with a defense mechanism. And there are some people whose mechanism is more finely tuned than others, and we do not want anything to penetrate across our radar. We don't. And we can see it more clearly in people who are addicts, like alcoholics, who oftentimes build up such a defense system that they cannot be at fault. Everyone has to be at fault. No one can find out what they are going through. Everybody in the family has to lie for them. There's a whole network that is built up to protect this citadel, to protect people from knowing who that individual really is. But you know, that's true of all of us. It's true of all of us. And we do it through rationalizations. We do it through avoidance. We are people who want to protect ourselves and will not allow anyone in behind the armor, including God. And what the Word of God does is it cuts through. It goes right under our radar system. It cuts right through and it lays us bare, sees the whole thing. In fact, that's the second point I'd like to draw from the passage. I've emphasized just a moment ago that the Word of God cuts us open, but it also lays us bare. The imagery of an operating room continues. Notice, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And this is now talking about Christ. Here's the point. Do you notice how closely verse 12 is united to verse 13? It is the Word of God, you see, that cuts us open. And it lays us bare, and we're being laid bare by the Word, which is by God, by Christ, to whom we must give an account. That's what the text actually says here. So here we have an autopsy being performed here, and everything is laid out. Every cell, every thought, every intention, every dream, every hoped-for moment, every sin, every carefully concealed iniquity. It's all bare. It's all laid out. And there you have a tumor, and there you have disease, and there are cells that obviously are affected by the disease. And over here you have a spine that is crooked, and here you have some bones that are out of joint, and here lies the heart with all of its aspirations. And the scripture says that there is nothing that is hidden from his sight. All of it is naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And listen to me carefully. What a person is lying there on God's table is what he really is, and nothing more. Nothing more. That's it. That's it. Wow. Now, how does God do this? How does he dissect us this way? Well, you see, it's through the word that we begin to see God. You see, up until that time, we only see others. One of our defense mechanisms is always to find somebody else who's worse than we are. And I'll tell you something, that is not hard to do. It's not hard to do. If you want to find somebody who's worse than you, just look around. Just take a moment. Just look at the person who's sitting next to you and the person who's behind you. I'll give you a minute to do that. It's easy. All that you have to do is look around. There's somebody who's worse than you are. Could well be that it's somebody you had breakfast with this morning. Somebody you had an argument with in the car as you came over. They're worse than you are, no question about it. So you're comfortable here in church. Very comfortable. Too comfortable. Listen, when the Word of God penetrates us, when we are laid bare, there is no one to whom we can compare ourselves. All that there is in the operating room is us and God. That's it. And all things are bare and opened unto the eyes of him with him to do. And every single scintilla of thought, dividing the soul with all of its soulish ideas, some of which are of mixed motives, dividing it, the spirit separating it, finding out all of the wrong motives that are mixed with good motives, and the whole sight as it is laid bare before God. And that's it. How does he do it? The word of God.
My friend, the Word of God has power, and we here at Running to Win are committed to preaching it to as many as we possibly can. I'm holding in my hand a letter from someone who lives in Iraq. You might know that Running to Win is in the Arabic language. He said, "I've been living in sin for so long. When I listened to your episodes, I felt that the Lord was talking to me personally. I've decided to repent." Thank you, friends, for helping us in this ministry. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? That's someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. Of course, the amount that you give is entirely your decision. You need more info? Hope that you have a pencil. Go to offerrtw.com, click on the endurance partner button, or call us at 1-800-215-5001. offerrtw.com or 1-800-215-5001.
You've been hearing Erwin Lutzer on The Power of the Bible, the last message in a series on 7 reasons why you can trust the Bible. Next time, some final thoughts on why you can trust this book with your life. This series can be yours as a CD album when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.